Grace, mercy, and peace be to you on this 18th Sunday after Pentecost. My brother-in-law used to wear a shirt that said, "It is better to be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and prove it." Jesus' disciples probably should have followed that advice as we read in this opening section of today's gospel. I guess we can't fault them because we certainly often get what our Lord is saying to us wrong. I mean, most recently, a number of conservative evangelicals have bought into the notion of Christian nationalism. That is, the idea that the United States is actually the chosen, blessed people of God if only the right people, pun intended, get to be in charge. Of course, this is one more perversion of the gospel. We humans are always trying to make God bless us rather than God's vision changing who we are. And we Lutherans have had our squabbles and challenges over the years, so no reason for us to have any sense of superiority. When Jesus and his disciples get to Capernaum, the Lord follows up asking what they were arguing about on the journey. Now, he already knew that they were jockeying over who was the greatest. And once again, Jesus challenges him with those familiar words, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." We've heard this many times. The last will be first, the first last. God always turns everything upside down. We're just trapped in our human ways of thinking, and it's hard for us to humble ourselves to embrace that divine will. Early in my career as a pastor, I became the conference dean. I thought it was a great honor. It was probably because nobody else wanted to do the job. And I was nominated by a number of folks to become the St. Paul Area Synod Bishop. Now, at the time, I was honored that people saw that in me and thought someday that might be pretty cool. Years later, when I became a personnel officer for those nine bishops, I discovered what a thankless job it was. The best and the most effective bishops were the ones who truly understood being a servant leader. And one wise retiring bishop at one point commented to me, "You know, all these people who want to be bishop, anyone who wants this job deserves it." I think I became a more effective pastor when I realized that I was at my best surrounding myself with the very best people and helping all of my staff to be the best that they could be. So often we think about leadership as a zero-sum game. Everyone's here to raise me up, when in fact the opposite is true. The only thing that really makes us better is making everyone else around us as good as they can be. Jesus showed us what it means to be a servant when he washed the feet of his disciples. And when he willingly died in order that we might live. In the last verses of today's gospel, Mark tells us, "Then he took a little child, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me.'" This fall, St. John's has begun to consider what it means to be an RIC congregation, a church deliberately telling the LGBTQ community that all are truly welcome here. Now, I've known for some time the Reconciling in Christ movement, but my initial reaction, quite honestly, was, why? We've worked very hard to be a congregation becoming welcoming and inclusive. And quite honestly, my initial concerns were that we might alienate some of our more conservative members of the congregation. And while we may not always disagree, I love and respect every one of you, no exceptions. Most of you know that I have a gay son who is married to a gay man, a wonderful man. They have attended church here and been warmly welcomed. They are, by the way, very active members of their ELCA congregation in California. So a week or so ago, I emailed them to ask what they thought of RIC, and if they moved to a new community, would that be important to them? Interestingly, without my saying anything more about what those three letters meant, both of them knew without me doing any explaining. My son-in-law responded that he would take that as a sign that a congregation was really committed to being inclusive, and I would not be afraid to go there. My son said that it would absolutely be a factor in which churches they considered visiting. I thought that was really good information for me, as I know that my son has experienced his share of pain and rejection at being a gay man, including at the hands of an ELCA congregation. But regardless of what this congregation decides in its process the next couple of months, I believe that the Lord is continually pushing us to see the world through God's eyes, where the last are first, where all are truly welcome, not just at the Lord's table on Sunday morning, but as part of the beloved community where we together live out the oneness that God calls us to be. Amen.